Hey guys, and welcome to the 5-1 Volleyball Podcast. I know it's been a while. Hope you didn't miss me too much. Took a bit of a break, but hopefully we'll be back and posting a lot more frequently, doing more podcasts, things like that. If this is your first introduction to 5-1 Volleyball, my name's Dan, nice to meet you, and I try and do a comprehensive coverage of professional volleyball because, let's be honest, no one else is really doing it. Thought I might as well step in and try and provide some coverage. So the way I'm going to try and format it, Mondays are going to be for the Italian Professional League, which is probably the league I focus on the most. It's the highest level of professional volleyball on the men's side in the world. A lot of the best foreign players play in the league. They have a really high talent level, great production value, and to be honest, it's just really fun to watch. If you haven't been following the Italian League yet this season, I'll give you a quick rundown of what's happened so far. You can skip this part if you've already been following it and are familiar with everything, but give a quick explanation for those who haven't really been watching all the games and following the league. All right, so, of course, we have the top four teams in the league. Trentino, Modena, Lube Civitanova, and Perugia. Same four teams we've had for the last couple years, head and shoulders really above the rest of the league. Trentino stands in first place right now at 14-2, and the worst team among those four is Modena at 13-3. So you can get a little idea of the talent disparity in this league. It's pretty big, and those four teams are generally considered to be the title contenders. But, you know, that's actually better. In some sports, we only have one or two title contenders. We got four in volleyball. Not bad. And then we have the next kind of group of teams. Milano, Verona, Monza, Padova, and Ravenna. And these are the kind of teams competing for those top eight playoff spots. So, you know, four of those, I think those seven teams, will make the playoffs. You know, on a good day, these teams can provide a challenge for the top four. You know, sometimes beat them. But generally, they're solidly in the next tier. Milano and Verona, I would say, are the two best out of those two right now, and they currently stand at 5th and 6th place. Milano at 9-7, Verona at 8-8, and then the next three, but generally, they're pretty much in the same tier. And then we kind of have our bottom feeders. Don't want to be too mean, but these teams are definitely a solid step below the other ones in the league. So we have Latina, Vibo Valentia, Sora, Siena, and Castellina Grotte. And especially Alessio, Siena, and Grotte. You know, these teams... one thing I like about this league, actually, is that every team does have really good players. Even Siena, like, has Yuki Ishikawa, Maruf. Sora has Dusan Pekovic and Michael Kaczierski. So there's great talent on every team. And, you know, except for maybe Grotte, every team can beat... all of these teams can beat the teams in the tier above them. So the league has been quite exciting this year. Perugia and Lube Civitanova were considered kind of the top two contenders at the beginning, but Civitanova has struggled at times. Yoandrea Leal and Robert Landy-Simon, they're two new players, two new signings. They burned a lot of bridges in getting these players, especially Simon coming over from Santa Cruzeiro. So they've struggled to integrate, and Lube Civitanova has not performed as well as expected. Perugia has been amazing up until very recently, and we're going to talk a lot about them today. But their new addition, Wilfredo Leon, is basically the most dominant player in the Italian Super League history in his first season there. So not bad job by him. He's one ace away from setting the Aces record. Not bad for a couple of games past halfway through point in the season. And to give you an idea of where we're at within the overall season, we are in the second phase. Each phase is 13 games, and we're in the third game of the second phase. Third week of the second phase, I guess. So we are, I guess, in the 16th. Week out of 26, so just past halfway. You know, not a bad time to hop in. All the boring early season stuff has already happened. Now we have real playoff battles, a lot of tension between the top teams, so all things considered, not a bad time to hop in. I hope that gave you a brief overview of kind of how the Italian League works. There should be a more detailed kind of written summary on my site. If you click on the Italian League section, you should get a better idea of how the league operates, the standings, the scoring leaders, blocking leaders, serving the order, all that stuff should be on the site, and you can go check that out if you want more information, or you can just go check out the official Italian League website, legavolley.it, legavolley.it, and that'll give you stats, standings, news if you can read Italian, and anything you could want about Italian volleyball. But you're not going to find awesome English coverage and analysis and opinions, which you can find here. So this week we had an absolutely crazy game between Trentino and Perugia. As I mentioned earlier, two of the top four teams in the league, the big four of Italian volleyball. And Perugia has sat on top of the standings since almost the beginning of the 2017-2018 season. They've been incredibly dominant. They won the championships last year over Ljubice Vitanova. They've won pretty much everything you could win in Italian volleyball last year. Didn't win the Champions League, but in Italy, they were completely unstoppable. And they added the best volleyball player in the world by a good margin, in my opinion, Wilfredo Leon, who's been absolutely sensational for them, hitting 60%, has over 60 aces already. Just unbelievable. But they've run into a bit of a opponent that matches them pretty well in Diatec Trentino. And this game really showed that Perugia is actually beatable. And not just beatable, they got swept this game. 25-23, 25-19, 35-33. So the third set was a pretty epic match. But Trentino, what an offseason they had. After being the definite fourth team last year, their pieces they added this summer are really paying off. One of them is Sreko Liznac, the Serbian middle blocker, who won the man of the match for this game. It was a great addition. In my opinion, one of the top five or so middles in volleyball, maybe even a bit top three middle. Grebennikov, who if you've read or watched any of my videos or read any of my articles, I consider him to be by far the best libero in volleyball, so he certainly showed at the reception. And Aaron Russell, who is their last major addition, the American outside hitter, who they did a swap with Perugia for Filippo Lanza. So there are actually a lot of players in this game that played for both teams. Aaron Russell has experience with both. He was on Perugia last year and Trentino this year. Massimo Colacci on Perugia has played for both teams. And Nick Hogue, a late signing of Perugia, also played on Trentino last year, both kind of in a bench role. Interesting that he managed to get on the bench for both. That's pretty funny. Anyway, this match. Liznac, as I mentioned earlier, was the MVP. Extremely strong performance. And what is really good, he wasn't killing the ball. He wasn't getting a ton of sets, only 5 for 6, I believe. But he had two aces. And not only two aces, but he had a couple of really important serving runs. Just one of those 4 or 5 point runs where even if the serve isn't scoring an ace, it's really putting a lot of pressure on the opposition and they're making mistakes and they're getting tough hits. And just putting service pressure is really important in men's volleyball. And when you're serving like that, it's important. And he also had 4 blocks. Kind of the theme of the day for Trentino was how strong their block was, especially when you're playing hitters like Wilfredo Leon and Alexander Atanasijevic. They're pretty good. So you got to put up a really strong block, really tall block, really coordinated block, really fast block. And Trentino did that and more. They got only eight blocks on the game, but that doesn't tell the whole story. They're getting a lot of block touches that allowed them to run a pretty good transition offense. They were getting a lot of blocks that resulted in mistakes and sloppy play and errors from Perugia. So all in all, great defensive performance from Trentino. So tons of credit to Trentino. Also Luca Vittori, who has been the kind of laughingstock of Italian volleyball the last 18 months or so. I don't think he's strung together 2 good games in a row since like 2 seasons ago. But how about this? 13 for 19 hitting this game. In the last game, he was the MVP as well. So, man, he's getting paid a lot of money. Something like 350,000 euros a year. He was a big signing for Trentino after he played so well for Modena 2 seasons ago. So if he can get even 80% of how he was in Modena, Trentino's going to be a really scary contender. So full credit to Trentino. Perugia, I have a couple things to say about them. Obviously they have the 2 leading servers in the league in Leon and Atanasijevic. But when their serve isn't going on, I don't know if their blocking is on the level of some of the other higher level teams. If teams can run their full offense against them and their first ball against them, they don't really have much to going on. I think even last year with Zaitsev and Aaron Russell, their blocking was a lot stronger. So they suffered from that a bit. And then also, Wilfredo Leon, he still had 15 points on 46% hitting. Not the worst game ever. But I find, obviously, he's the best player in volleyball. Insanely athletic. But I'd say this is one of his only weaknesses, is that if he's not scoring on every hit, which he usually is, to be honest, to be fair, he does these weird, kind of roll shots over the block to 6, and just, they're not that hard to get. I could probably dig them, to be honest. They're just kind of these floaty rollies. Like, they're not, he's not tipping or placing the ball. It's not like a free ball, but I think it's not the set's kind of the issue. Like, it's not a good set. I wouldn't wail on the ball like he does usually. But I think he needs to find a better backup shot. Maybe it's a confidence thing. Maybe he just doesn't have a shot like that. But I would say that's one of the only criticisms I have of him as a player. And Atanasijevic was also... They miss in different ways. Leon kind of gets a little hesitant and does the roll shots I was talking about. Eitan just keeps wailing. He tries to hit even harder and go for hands. And that's either going to result in him getting absolutely stuffed, which he did several times this game, or just... you know, hitting the ball into the crowd way out of bounds. But, you know, these guys are world-class players. I doubt this will affect them for more than this game. But Perugia has a big test coming up next week against Ljubice Vitanova, which is our big Saturday game, I believe. So tune into Rysport if you want to catch some of that, rysport.it. And if Perugia loses another game in a row, like, I don't know, they got taken to 5 by Verona. They get swept by Trentino. Definitely too early to panic, but you know, they're not the completely dominant force they were last year, which is surprising because a lot of people thought they might be even better. And there's one more person I have to blame for this, and that's Filippo Lanza. Because, I mean, obviously, this week in particular was an emotional week for him. He started out on Trentino's youth team and played there for his whole life until he was 27. So he obviously has a lot of ties there, probably had family and friends watching the game. So I can see why it's emotional. It's tough to thrive in that kind of environment. But he's just been, it's not just that game. It's been the whole season. He had his serve figured out early in the season, which was one of his biggest criticisms from the summer and from last season. But he's a libero's and outside's body. He does not have the athleticism or firepower to get through a lot of these high-level Italian league blocks. So this game, he was sub for Dora Della Lunga, who actually, you know, played pretty well. I don't think I've seen him play that many minutes since he's joined Perugia. All right, that's all I have to say about that game. Trentino, man, they're a good team to watch in the next few weeks. And they're playing Valletta. They got not that hard of a schedule coming up. So Ljubice Vitanova in 2 weeks on January 20th. So that's going to be, we'll see how Ljubice Vitanova and Perugia do next week, but there's some good games. Any game between the top four teams is a must-watch. The other game I'm going to talk about is Ljubice Vitanova beating Calzedonia of Verona in 5 sets, 3-2. I think this was, despite Ljubice Vitanova not getting that coveted 3 points, they only got 2, Verona gets 1. That's how it works when you split sets in volleyball. I think it was actually a bit of a moral win for them. Their whole team played pretty well, and one of the biggest revelations, I think, was that Yoandri Leal seems to have found his offense. He had another great game. The last few games of his have been awesome. He was 22 for 36 this game. It's really impressive. And he still can't pass. He's still getting targeted a lot on serves, but I think now that he has his offense figured out, he has a little more confidence that he'll stay on the court, and... you know, even though he did get subbed out for Jiříkova for part of this game, and, you know, Jiříkova is a good player. There's no shame in getting subbed off for him, and he almost has the exact opposite skill set as Yoandri Leal. But I think if he can get his confidence back, that's going to be such a sigh of relief for Ljubice Vitanova. Sokolov was the MVP of this game. 18 kills on 53% hitting, 5 blocks. You know, his block tallies haven't hit the astronomical heights they did last year, where he was one of the league's leading blockers, but you know, when he gets opposing outside hitters who are just a little too hungry, he can still feast on them. He still has impeccable instincts and timing and really gets his hands high. And one of the guys he was blocking a lot was Stefan Boyer of Verona, who, as we all know, probably recognize the name, starting opposite for France, one of my favorite players to watch, one of the best opposites in the world. And he's not really having the best season in Verona. I mean, he's still scoring a lot. He's near the top of the league. But his hitting percentages are not really great. I think he's about 46% on the season, 45%. Not particularly high, especially for a player with such high usage. And like, this game was kind of indicative of his performance this season. You know, 25 points looks good. You know, wow. Good to score that many points, but blocked six times. That's a stat you don't really see that often. Not six errors. He was literally blocked six times. So I don't know how much of that is on Lucas Spiritos not finding him in the right places, especially maybe spoiled by having Benjamin Taniuti as a setter on the France national team. But he needs to do a better job, I think, of not... You can't power through the block. These guys are too good. They're going to seal. They know your tendencies. They know when Luke is going to set you. They have all the data available to them. So you really... He needs to hit a bit higher, hit a bit more angles. He misses the line shots a lot of the time. He'll just go for line and then have like a foot or two out. I mean, amazing player. And his serve has really helped Verona. But I'd like to see a bit more on offense from him. The other thing I was thinking about when I was watching this game, Thomas Szewski, man, he would have been a fantastic addition to this Verona team, especially now they have Kaczynski as one of their outside spots. I'm not sure if I said that right, by the way. If anyone wants to comment and correct that, I'd be very appreciative, especially since they don't have, I'll just call him Mate for now. Especially if they have him, having Szewski back, he would just be such a perfect complement to the team. This team just, they need that extra bit of offensive firepower so much. Their defense is good. Their blocking is good. They keep rallies alive. They have long rallies. But if they had like a back row threat, oh man. Thomas Szewski, I hope he's okay. I hope his recovery is going well. That was an unfortunate injury. Seems like a great guy. Would be perfect for this team. I think would almost bring them to the cusp of contention. Sebastian Solé was a great addition to this team. Stephen Boyer struggled, but I think he has a lot more in him. I think he'll play a lot better. Morteza Sharifi has been okay in spots. Javad Manavi has struggled a bit. So their outsides have been struggling, which is why Szewski would have been perfect. All right, that's enough about Lube and Verona. Just a couple more. Those are the only two games I'm going to go over in that much detail. Talk quickly about Milano beating Latina 3-1. And even though I put Latina in the bottom tier in that at the beginning of the podcast, I think there are actually like the best team pretty easily. Maybe Siena could take that title, but I think Latina has had some few good games. Swan Negapet, if you don't know Swan, he's Irvin Negapet. It's his younger brother who, you know, I think he used to play on Modena too, and it was a bit of a meme because he never played, didn't play on the French national team or anything. But I don't know what Latina, they had good scouts because he's actually a pretty good player and he's doing quite well for Latina. But enough about Latina. Milano, who, you know, I like Milano. They have my guy Stephen Marr on the team, my guy Trevor Cleveneau. And speaking of those two, they really like to kind of alternate playing well. One week, Cleveneau will have a good game, Marr will suck. Next week, Mara will have a good game. Cleveneau will suck. They haven't really been able to like combine their efforts and play well at the same time. But today they did. Listen to this. Cleveneau, 18 kills on 51% hitting, 38% perfect reception, 4 blocks, 2 aces. That's a freaking stat line. I wish I had him on my fantasy team. Stephen Marr, 17 kills on 55% hitting, 29% perfect reception, 3 blocks, and 1 ace. So not quite as good, but I'll take that stat line too. A little bit better at hitting even. So if those are kind of the... I mean, they have Namir Abdelaziz too. Didn't have his best game today. But if Marr and Cleveneau can pass and hit that well, I like Milano a lot. And if Namir wants to play well as well, and the piano keeps playing, like he's been awesome, I think this team could actually have a shot at getting to the semifinals. Maybe if Modena hangs on to that fourth place spot, Milano would match up against them in the first round, the 4-5 matchup. That would be an awesome series to watch. I actually really hope that happens. Speaking of Modena, they had a great game against Ravenna. You know, easy 3 points. Ravenna's a good team though, too. They're not bottom feeders at all. Modena got a great performance from Bartosz Bednarz. He struggled to adjust a lot more than I thought to the Italian league this season after I thought he played amazingly for Skra Belchatov and kind of was snubbed from the Polish national team this summer. But I guess they knew something I didn't, because he did not start the season out very well. But he played well today, or yesterday, or Sunday, or whenever the game was. 64% hitting with 18 points, 2 blocks, 2 aces, and a nice little gift basket MVP trophy to reward him for his efforts. You know, Modena played well, but obviously pretty big talent disparity between these two teams, and especially since the breakout star of the season, Kamil Rajlicki, is playing in the European Eurovolley 2019 qualifiers with his home country, Luxembourg, trying to get them a spot this summer in the Eurovolley 2019. Unfortunately, I do not believe Luxembourg has the best chances of getting into the competition. The competition in Europe is extremely fierce to get into those top spots, and there's not exactly a lot of spots available. But Andrea Argenta did play well for them. So if Argenta can keep playing this well, Rajlicki comes back, does his thing, Ravenna is going to still be in contention for a playoff spot. They are in ninth place right now. They've kind of dropped a few spots here. I think they were at as high as fifth earlier on this season. They're 6-10, one game behind the 7-9 Padova. And by the way, these are the only games going on this stage. The two other games that need to be played between Monza and Valencia, and then Sora versus Siena. Well, there's a matchup. Those will be played at the beginning of February. I believe the reason is because of the Euro qualifiers. Some significant players were missing from those four teams. I know, like, guys like Zukowski on Valencia, Brenning on Sora, and Plotnicki on Monza are kind of big parts of their team's game plan. So, and those guys are obviously, you know, good for them. They want to play for the country, and they want to go make sure their country qualifies for Eurovolley 2019. So teams are like, all right, give you the week off. Actually, in the Polish league, and I believe in Brazilian league, have this week entirely off. So, you know, the Italian league is actually a bit of an anomaly in that they had volleyball going on this weekend. Looking forward to next weekend, which is the 13th of January, our two big games. The one on Saturday, Perugia versus Civitanova. Always love when these two teams play. A rematch of last year's finals series. It's going to be exciting. There's a not a lot of love lost between these two teams. I don't know if you guys remember, but in the Champions League finals, Liubi Civitanova eliminated Perugia. Perugia stayed behind and may not exactly have been cheering on their Italian counterparts. So there's a little bit of bad blood between those two teams, and that, you know, I'm sure you'll see Osmani Wantarina tripping through the net. Ludicheko, I'm sure, will have his mouth running the entire game. It's always fun to watch these two teams play each other. Then the other big game on Sunday is Milano versus Modena. As I said, that's a 4-5 matchup right now. I think if Milano can keep playing better, they actually have a real chance of beating Modena. So we'll see if that proves to be real, or I'm just wishful thinking and top four teams just stomp anyone below them without a care in the world. Valencia versus Trentino shouldn't be that exciting. Ravenna versus Monza. This is one of the games that Ravenna needs. Monza's only I believe one spot higher than them in the win. Yeah, they're only one game ahead of them in the standing. So a Ravenna win could flip that result and, you know, tie them up. If they lose, it's going to be a bit of a climb back into the playoffs. You're going to have to really start turning it around. Siena versus Latina. Funnily enough, Siena's outsides, Yuki Ishikawa and Gabriele Mariotti, both played for Latina last year. They just did an outside swap, so I guess the return game for them. It'd also be good to see Simon van de Voort, who is one of the players exiled from Stanchia Szczecin, the team that folded in the Polish Plus League after they went way over their budget. And then their sponsor pulled out, and then they folded, and all the players found new homes, which was good for the teams that got those players, not so good for everyone else. So Simon van de Voort and Siena should shore up their blocking a lot, and it could be a new team. You never know. Maybe Siena could win out and make the playoffs. They're definitely the best team in that, or most talented team in that bottom group. Padova versus Sora, nothing too exciting there. Sora's better than they were last year, but Padova should take care of them quickly. Verona versus Grote, another likely blowout. So, we have one really good match per day, at least. And Ravenna, Monza, Siena, Latina, worth checking out if you're a super fan. You know where to watch the two big games on Rysport, rysport.it. You're going to need a good VPN to get on there. And then 11sports.it if you want to watch the other games, which you can go without a VPN, but you will need a subscription, which you need to pay for. Shouldn't be that cheap this deep into the season if you're interested in that. All right, not crazy exciting week for Italian volleyball. I mean, it's always an exciting week, but nothing groundbreaking to discuss in terms of news or anything like that. So why don't I quickly talk about the Eurovolley 2019 qualifiers, which I mentioned earlier in the podcast. So I actually work as a remote media kind of contract officer for the CEV, which is the European Volleyball Federation. So I have a pretty up close and personal view into this competition. Can't discuss any private details that I may be privy to, but I can talk about, you know, where to watch it and how exciting it is and stuff. So if you don't know, Eurovolley is just the, you know, exactly what it sounds like, the big competition between all of Europe. Russia were the winners of the last competition. It happens every 2 years. So the last one was in 2017, and countries take it extremely seriously. Like, this is, other than like the world championships for them, this is like the, and the Olympic Games, obviously, this is like the big competition. Like, this is taken very seriously. There's a lot of huge rivalries, obviously, between all the countries in Europe, hundreds of years of history between them, 100 years of volleyball history between them. So it's the real deal. Teams go all out, and it gives a chance for, you know, smaller countries to get out there and try and, you know, do an upset. Like, games I covered this weekend include like Iceland, Moldova, Luxembourg, Estonia, Latvia, just teams that generally aren't invited to like Nations League and don't necessarily qualify for the European Championships. Some of them are really good. They just are in an ultra competitive European region where, you know, they're always France, Italy, Russia, Poland are always going to take up the main spots. Anyway, on Wednesday, it is going to be a crazy day of action. I believe there are 24 matches going on in just one day, all on Wednesday. And we're not going to really find out what teams qualify until close to the end of the day. The way it works is that there's 7 pools, 5 pools with 4 teams, and 2 pools with 3 teams. I know, a bit weird, but, you know, when there's the number of teams and the number of schedules and logistics that CV has to deal with, it's one of the only ways to do it. So the way it works is that the 4 team pools, the last place team will drop off, and then their games won't count, and everyone's basically competing in a 3 team pool. So yeah, there's going to be some crazy math going on. There's an incredible spreadsheet behind the scenes to see which teams qualify, a lot of really dedicated fans eagerly anticipating if their country will make Eurovolley 2019, because it's quite a privilege to be able to compete in it, and you get a lot of media attention and things like that. I've talked to fans from Macedonia, I've talked to fans from Spain, from Portugal. Just all these countries are so, you know, excited to be able to try and compete and make it, and I'm excited to cover the games. You can, I believe there's still a bit of time left in the Eurovolley.tv free trial, so if you have extra time on Wednesday, maybe you do, maybe you don't, check out Eurovolley.tv. It's the CEV's new volleyball streaming platform. Usually about, I think, €8 a month. But if you get a free trial in now, you know, sign up, watch the games. You can cancel it if you want. Or if you want to keep it and watch Champions League and the Eurovolley 2019 later on this year, you can keep it for those events and then maybe cancel for the fall and sign back up around this time next year. That's what I would do anyway. I hope you enjoyed the first podcast back for the 5-1 Volleyball podcast. I think I've got the infrastructure in place to do it more frequently. My plan right now is to do this Italian League podcast on Monday, Polish League podcast on Wednesday, except I probably won't do it this Wednesday because of all the Eurovolley stuff going on, and then a Champions League on Friday or whatever other league. You know, we might talk about the Russian League, what podcast, or the Brazilian League, or German, or French, or wherever. Friday's kind of a free day. Anyway, that's the plan right now. I'm going to be posting all these to my website, 51vb.com. I just got a couple new writers in, Tomas, who's going to be covering the Italian League, and Adam, who's going to be covering the Polish League. So if you're wondering why there's not enough content on the site right now. You're gonna like what I got going on. We got new writers. Hopefully you guys are listening to this on Spotify, because that means I figured out how to get this podcast on Spotify, and that would be really cool. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the return of the 5-1 Volleyball Podcast. My name is Dan. I have a volleyball game to go to, actually, in about half an hour, so I think this is where I'll sign off. Thanks for listening.